when I rise in the morning, when I rise in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. When I come to die, oh, when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. But give me Jesus.
You know, as we travel around in this life, we do it the best we can. But we can't help but find ourselves in the midst of a trial or a hardship, a difficulty that tests our faith and strength and endurance. It puts us against the wall and between the rock and a hard place. We're going to try to understand the power of Satan and what it is and the limits of it and why it even is here. Because realistically, God is greater. And so why in the world does he allow Satan to have any power whatsoever? So we're going to have to look at a few things. First of all, we have to look at God. And we have to see that there's nothing that God can do wrong. And so to look at that, 1840 in your pew Bibles, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. 1840 in your pew Bibles. Verse 17 in particular, we're going to look at. We're going to look at more of it, so stay there. Don't turn to anything else right away. Chapter 1 in James, starting verse 17, says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created." So, God is not evil. And every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And if you look a little bit above that, you'll notice that it talks about temptation in verse 13. It says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. And then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death." So, God is innocent of the shaking our fist at Him and saying, "Why God? Why God?" He gives us an explanation for sure, and we're going to look at that. But His power is not to cause us harm. It's not to tempt us with evil. It's not to do evil to us. And every good and perfect gift comes from Him. So we find that that's said out of the Scripture. And as we go through our lives, sometimes we question that. And I'll go into why we question that. But God cannot do it. Scripture is wholly true. It is inspired by God, written by men, obviously, but inspired by God. God breathed. And so this is the truth. God is not tempting you. God is not pushing you into evil. God is not giving you evil. Satan does that. Now, to understand it a little bit better, we have to also understand that God does have to allow it. You know, why can't we go through our lives totally without the trials and tribulations, without the harassment of sin? Why can't we do things that, you know, and live our lives and just enjoy life? Especially as Christians, you know, when you turn your life over to the Lord, you kind of go, "Yeah, now it's over. But it's just begun." It's like, it's worse sometimes. In fact, Kathy knows, my evil nemesis is wires. I hate wires and string. You know, fishing line is bad enough. But you couple that into wires and strings, and you can wrap your wires up perfectly, but when you take them out, they're all knotted up. And then when you're dragging them across a flat surface, it will hook on anything that is protruding out of the floor. Anything. Yeah, she knows. She has the patience. I don't. Because it's like every time I pull a wire somewhere, it snags. And I have to go all the way back and unsnag it and pull it. And it happens all the time. Why, God? Why? God could stop it, couldn't He? I mean, He's got the power. He's all powerful. He created everything. So, why not? Well, because they're Satan. And we'll get into that. First off, I want you to turn to Job, because Job kind of shares a little bit of insight into the situation. 714 in your pew Bibles, Job is right before Psalm. And it's all the way in the first chapter, Job chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 12. Because we have to understand some things about Satan. Satan has some power, but it's limited. And that's where I guess we kind of get into the idea where we blame God for things, because we say, well, God could stop Satan from doing whatever he wants, you know, wanted to do. But we'll get into that answer in just a little bit. First of all, though, we get into Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 12. It says, one day angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Into heaven, by the way. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. So, you know, he's kind of in charge of some things. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing, Satan said? Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. In other words, Satan went to God to ask permission to do something to Job. And he challenges God to remove this hedge of protection around Job. Did you know that you have that hedge? And that when things come to you and trials come your way, it is because it needs to be removed at times. Satan has to be allowed to do things. In other words, in fact, and you don't have to turn there, but remember, we talked about it a few weeks before. In Luke chapter 22, Satan asked Jesus, God, to sift Peter like wheat. He asked permission. So, now I know there's wheels turning. I can smell the aroma of burning wheels and minds going crazy here, because you're thinking yourself, okay, so if God has the power to put that hedge around us and keep Satan from us, why doesn't he? Right? Why doesn't he? I mean, wouldn't it be great and grand if we could become Christians and live our life trial, pain, suffering free? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Praise the Lord, right? Sorry. Not going to happen. Now, why not? I mean, why can't we be worry-free and trial and pain-free? What's the problem with that? Let's go to 1 Peter 18:45 in your pew Bibles. Chapter 1 in 1 Peter, starting verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We have various trials in our lives because they are used to refine us, to build on us, to make us stronger and more able to handle this life, which God must allow Satan to have some power. You know, if Satan did not then the accusation would be, well, of course they believe in you. They're not tested. I mean, what? How hard is it to follow when you have no trials? It's easy. Who would long for heaven if we didn't have trials in this world? I know I'd be going, yeah, heaven can wait. I don't need heaven. You know, let's keep it down here, you know. No. Trials, heartaches, and hardships are here to direct our eyes to the real prize. Salvation in Jesus Christ. And those trials have a benefit because they build us up in Christ. They prepare us for the glory that's to come. You see, now, mankind chose to disobey God. Remember in Genesis, you know, Adam and Eve and all that? You know, mankind chose to disobey God. And because of that, the result is power given to Satan. He's called the power of this air. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, 1776 in your pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. You see, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You see, that's the result of what Adam and Eve did. You know, they sinned, they brought sin in the world, and now we're plagued with sin. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a sinner, unforgiven. Now, if you're not forgiven, you're dead in your transgressions and sins. That's what it says. In which you used to live. Now, those of us who are Christians used to live in our sin, but now we don't. We have gotten freedom from living in those sins. That doesn't mean we don't sin anymore, because we do once in a while. But we're not living in those sins. We're not dead in our transgressions because we believe in Jesus Christ. But it says here, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. And the ruler of the kingdom of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, and all of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying and the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, because it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Is that not amen? That's what it's all about. God has given it to us. But the power of this age, the power that is in this world, is pushing and pressing on us. He doesn't want us to be out there witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because He wants a lot of company in hell with Him. But when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we're no longer dead in our transgressions. We're alive in Him. And yes, Satan's going to put the hurt to us. But he has to ask. Because we're sanctified. Remember that. We're going to get to that. In fact, let's look at it now. The power of Satan is limited by us, by our presence, the church. Look at John chapter 17, 1646 in your pew Bibles. This is our last scripture. Chapter 17, 1646 in your pew Bibles. Starting in verse 15, this is a prayer by Jesus to God the Father while He's still here in this world. He's praying this for all of us, all the believers. Starting in verse 15, He says, well, there's a lot more to it, but this is the portion I want us to pay attention to. Verse 15 says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified. Now what is that? Sanctified. Sanctified is they separated us, just as he separated himself. Doesn't mean that we aren't in the world, because we are in the world. He just said that. He said, don't take them out of the world, because they have to be in the world. But protect them from the evil one. How? Our minds, our souls, our spirits, our salvation. We're protected from Satan. Isn't it true that when you go through a trial and you go through a period of difficulty, that you go, I don't understand it, but I'm going to be solid on Christ. I'm going to remain faithful to Him. Aren't you feeling that way? When you go through a trial, a tribulation, a difficulty in your life, you go, you know what? I don't understand it. And I'm mad at God because of what He's done or what He's allowed to happen to me. And I don't understand what's going on. But you know what? I know that He's my Savior. I know that He created this world. I know that He is who He is. And I can't deny Him. That's protection from the evil one. God must allow a certain amount of harassment from Satan, because that's the nature of the results of the sin in the Garden of Eden. But we are, Satan is being held back. And if you've read anything about Revelation, or have gone through the book at all, you realize there's a point in time where it's called the Great Tribulation. You know what that is? That's when God calls the Christians out of the world. The rapture. When we're raptured out of this world, when we're taken out, you know what happens? Satan is set free. No longer is the church holding him back. No longer is the Holy Spirit holding him back. He's going to have free reign. And if you look at Revelation and what happens in the Great Tribulation, I don't want to be here. I wouldn't want anybody to be here. But there will be people who will be here during the Great Tribulation. And that is a demonstration. You think about what's going on in the world. It's pretty horrible. I mean, kids sold into slavery, kids being abused, the mass killings in different countries and all those other things, the persecution of the church, all those kinds of things. When you think of that, multiply it 1,000 times. That's what Satan can do. But he's not allowed to do it. See, it could be way worse. This world could be way, way more horrible. We think of the most horrible thing that you've ever thought of in your mind, think of it 1,000 times worse. That's how bad Satan wants it to be. But God is saying, no, no, you don't. You can't do that. I'm not going to let you. And when he says, hey, look at my servant, Bill, I want to nail him. And God says, all right, but only this much. No more. He holds him back. God is protecting. God is shielding. And you may not think that way sometimes, but believe me, He is protecting you. It could be way, way worse. It's a demonstration of communion. Of course, we're getting to that close time. Thank God that the time fell backwards. I got an extra hour. Didn't think I'd get you there, did you? You know, communion is really a demonstration of that, because what did Satan do? He thought he had the power. God said, all right, I'm going to let you harass Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness, the temptation. Then he says, all right, fine, I'll turn him over to you. You can have him and do what you will. Killed him on the cross. Well, Satan didn't know prophecy. He didn't know what's going to happen. He thought, now I got him. Pilate, turn it over to the people. And Satan going all through the crowd, crucify him. And everybody started screaming at him, crucify him. And so we remember communion because, yeah, Satan had power, but you know what? His power turned around to the victory of Jesus Christ because he rose from the grave and he gave us forgiveness of sin and released us from the power of sin. So now we have a place in heaven. How great is that? And so that's what we do when we take the bread and we take the cup. We remember that Jesus allowed Satan to kill himself, to kill Jesus. He allowed him. Remember he said to Pilate, you can't do anything if I didn't allow it. I call down a legion of angels and put an end to this. He had the power to do that, but he allowed Satan to have power over himself. That's an amazing God. And so when we experience that same thing, look at the bread, look at the cup, because through his trial, through his death, we have victory. And so even through our trials, even through the harassment that we go through, we have victory. Because we are not going to let Satan win. And we know the end of the story. That, you know, we're not supposed to have revenge or anything like that. You know, it's God's job for revenge and everything. But you know, it's like, all right, Satan's going to get his. Because God's going to give it to him. And he's going to send him down into the pit, never to return. That's the end of the story. All because Jesus gave his life for us. So I want the deacons to come forward.